This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demarest, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. So today I was reading an article about a husband trying to get out of a $40 million tax bill caused by his wife's income on their joint return. And it made me realize not only was this something that you can do, unfortunately not for this couple successfully, but there's some other tax questions that always come up surrounding being self-employed and also being married. Before we get into that, though, I want to just stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want to hear a question answered on here, just have a question for me and an idea for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. And lastly, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, NapaTrax and Promotive, for being loyal supporters of the show as well. Hey, did you know NapaTrax is on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Visit them online at napatrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. Promotive has over 40 years of recruiting and automotive experience. If you're in need of a qualified technician and service advisors and want to offload the heavy lifting, visit them online at gopromotive.com.
Quick shout out. If you listen to Remarkable Results Radio or Town Hall Academy, I believe it was, check out, just did an episode today with Carm and Dwayne and Rick, two awesome multi-shop operators, about some of the red flags of expanding and looking at new locations. I wanted to talk about some of the financial aspects of that, but that'll have to wait for next week. And also, I don't want to bury the lead and put that out before Carm does his. So keep an eye out for that, especially if you are thinking about expanding a multi-location. Two guys on there that have probably done this more than most out there. Awesome guys, awesome shop operators, and a lot of really good nuggets in there. Back to what we're going to talk about this week. Before we kind of get into what this is and what this is called, and maybe you've heard of this before, maybe you've seen this, I highly doubt it because I have not actually seen this in my career. But let's talk about that case. What is going on here and why this is coming out now is it is a tax court case that finally settled, and the result was not what this couple was expecting to see. I'll keep it brief if you want to read the whole tax court briefing on this. The name of the court case was Strom versus Commissioner, TC Memo 2024-58. I don't think you want to read this. Like I said, I doubt that this will ever really be something that you have to do. And if it is, there's probably a little bit bigger issue than just your tax situation or marriage. But let's talk about that. The case here is Dr. Strom, who is the husband, who was the filer in this, was trying to get out of a $40 million tax bill caused by his wife's income. This is not for a number of years. This is 1 year, and how the heck did this happen, and how did he think he was going to get out of that? So long story short, Mrs. Strom, Dr. Strom's wife, worked for a company called Infospace. I didn't recognize the name either. Maybe you do. I thought it was MySpace at first. I was like, Infospace, what the heck? Anyways, she was the CEO, president of that, some sort of bigwig there, and ended up getting a massive amount of stock options or exercising her right for a massive amount of stock options. And when I say define how much, yeah, like $100 million was her compensation for 2001. This is how long this has been going on. This is all dating back to a tax position that was taken in 2001. But yeah, the IRS moves slow and the tax courts move even slower. Also, how much money this has been, I'm guessing this has gone through a lot of courts. They keep on punting this one forward because just like any sort of courts, tax courts are no different. When you have a ruling that comes out, there's certain issues which they try to not even take to tax court. But when they do, they have to be very, very, very careful. Why is that? Because if the IRS loses, anyone else with a similar stance on it can use that court case to defend their own position. And it's almost rock solid on this. And we'll talk about that in a second. I don't want to get too derailed here as I usually do. They finally ended up hearing this case and talking about it. And the crux of this issue and how this was such a massive thing and why they thought that there was going to be some relief from this is his wife did exercise the stock options. Now, if you're familiar with stock options, exercising them, meaning, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to buy these stocks, does not necessarily mean you actually got the money. Generally, for most stocks, they are pretty consistent, not super volatile. You go and you exercise the stock options. Yeah, you have a bunch of stock. It's like you got paid money, but instead of getting paid in money, you got paid in stock. It's taxed very, very similarly. Even though it's one of the more complicated aspects that people have on personal tax returns, that a lot of average Americans get stock options from their company. Now, you get $100 million? No. But it frustrates a lot of people because if you got like $1,000 of stock options, probably not going to be able to do your taxes personally anymore. You're probably not going to be able to do TurboTax. I mean, it really is overly complicated. It's gotten a lot better recently, especially if you work for a bigger company. They give you a lot better reporting than you used to. But I'll be honest, I hate doing tax returns with stock options. Every company reports them a little bit differently. They sometimes give you all the information. They sometimes don't. If you need more information, they are absolutely clueless on that information. But anyways, I digress. What happened here is Mrs. Strom went and exercised these stock options. I don't know how much of the $100 million was stock options and how much wasn't. I think it was a ton. I think this was the majority of her income was the stock option. When she exercised those options, instantly that day, she had, we'll call it $100 million in income. Now remember, she did not sell that stock. I guess she must have really believed in InfoSpace. Now, the fact that you and I don't know what InfoSpace is, you probably know where this story is going. Unfortunately, 2001 was a bad year for a lot of reasons on it, but InfoSpace was no different. Historically, or historic crash was InfoSpace's stock really, really tanked in 2001. And when I say tanked, I mean losing about 90% of its value. They don't give me the specifics. If I read the court case, I probably could get the specifics, but it doesn't matter. Let's just say that this person exercised these rights. They're going to show about $100 million in income. And by the time that they actually were able to cash out and liquidate these stocks, they only walked away with $10 million. Well, you might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, why the heck is she going to be paying tax on $100 million when she only got $10 million? Saying only $10 million is a little bit funny, but hear me out. This is one of those situations where not all tax is created equal. Yeah, to a certain extent, all of your different income from business, investments, dividends, interest, all goes to your personal tax return, but not all income kind of offsets each other. If you have a bunch of income in your shop and you have an unrelated, passive, limited interest in some real estate that has massive losses, probably not going to be able to offset those. Different types of income, there's limitations on this. Stock losses are no different. And we've talked about this time and time again. Stock losses are limited and a lot of times limited to offset passive income. If we have $100 million of active income and we have a what would have been a $90 million loss in their capital losses, those do not offset each other. And so there was a little bit of a break on that $100 million, but more or less, even though she only received $10 million in taxes or $10 million in cash, she had a tax bill on $100 million of income, which was right around $40 million, which is the $40 million that they're talking about here. How they got there is not super important here other than to just give you a little bit of, hey, if you thought that you had a bad phone call from your IRS, I assure you the Strom couple had a much worse phone call. But what was this husband trying to argue other than, hey, I think my wife really screwed up here? The provision that Dr. Strom was trying to use on this was called the innocent spouse provision. It is a legitimate thing. It is an IRS program and it is out there and you can use it. Now, I will be honest. I have never seen anyone file an innocent spouse claim. There's one other type of relief for spouses that we do see somewhat, still pretty rare, but we do see it. I've never personally seen the innocent spouse provision. The reason is innocent spouse, as the title kind of alludes to, has to do with misreporting of income and generally a lot of times frauds, errors, and things like that. What this is, when you file a joint tax return, if you are the husband, if you are the wife, your problem is their problem is your problem. Yeah, you're two separate people, but from the IRS's eyes, you have a joint account. Your wife does something, has a big tax bill. Hey, Bad news for you, you both have a big tax bill. And vice versa. It's not sexist. The IRS is equal opportunity in most aspects of this, husband and wife and husband, it doesn't really matter. What he was trying to argue in this position was, hey, I didn't know. She did something with her stock options. Who knows what she did? Yeah, she owes you $40 million, but leave me out of it. Now, why was he trying to do this? How are they divorced now? Are they not divorced? Did he divorce her? Who knows? But he wanted to try and get out of this. Now, was he able to? No. The IRS did not agree with him. Going to tax court and going to a court run by the government to try and argue against the government is always going to be an uphill battle, but there is still some level of laws and they have to follow and they have to follow their own rules. One of the big things here is in order to be innocent, you truly have to be innocent. And what the court found was that Dr. Strom was not actually innocent. It was not his income, but he was aware of the position that they were taking. Luckily enough for their accountant, it looks like their accountant documented this pretty well, because there's actually something called prepare penalties, where if me, my company or me as a CPA and accountant, if we do something really bad, you can get in trouble because obviously it's going to be your tax return. So they're going to want tax money from you, but I could actually get in trouble too. I have professional standards that I need to act on and say, come on now, Hunt, you knew better than that. You should not have taken that position. It's really, really, really rare to see that. Not only because, you know, I'm not sure that there's tons of people out there that are filing fraudulent tax returns on behalf of their clients. And also, it's just something where it has to be so cut and dry, egregious, that they clearly said, hey, I know this is not right. We're still going to do it. What happened here is the accountant kind of probably saved themselves by throwing Dr. Strom under the bus, but came out and petitioned to the court of saying, hey, I told both of them that the position that they wanted to take on this was aggressive. Because what they tried to do is they tried to say, more or less what you're thinking. Hey, guys, yeah, it shows $100 million of income here. We only got $10 million. This is a little bit of a trick here, but it's just not fair. We're only paying tax on $10 million. I get it. Every aspect of this makes sense. This is one where you really, really got burned by the tax laws. Now, are there other ways around this? Absolutely. Sounds like InfoSpace really went into the tank. The person has a massive tax liability, probably not a whole lot of future income at that point. There is offers and compromise. There's a ton of stuff that they probably could have done here. But I don't know if they tried to just think that it wouldn't get caught, and maybe it didn't. This is a 23-year-old tax year. This could have came up in audit. This could have been found by someone else in some other way. But what he tried to say was, hey, I had nothing to do with it. This was all my wife. And it wasn't true. The accountant came out and said, hey, I told you guys both. You guys both knew the risks on it. Tax court found, hey, you guys both knew about it. Buddy, you're along for the ride, but you are not innocent. And we still want our money. And I don't care if it's you. I don't care if it's her. I don't care if it's both of you. We're getting our money. Like I said, why did I bring this up? I mean, it was $40 million. I thought it was somewhat of an interesting story. And like I said, I do not think that you're probably going to have to deal with this. If you are dealing with an innocent spouse relief claim on it, you have much bigger issues. It means that you filed a fraudulent return, you really messed something up, and then probably don't have enough money to pay for it. I have seen stuff similar to this, and there's a little bit of a planning opportunity that can be done here. And sometimes I do see my clients do this. An innocent spouse all has to do with your joint tax return. But there is also liability that you can get from your business itself. If you do not pay payroll tax, that's not only a business problem, that is a personal problem. Payroll taxes, well, some payroll taxes, sales tax, there's a couple of taxes out there of what they call trust tax. Trust tax is something that both the states, feds, counties, municipalities do not look favorably on if you don't pay. A trust tax is a tax that's not actually paid by you as the business owner. You are the trustee because you are collecting it from someone else and giving it to them. Sales tax, you don't pay any sales tax, your customers do. Withholding for your employees' payroll, you don't pay withholding, you withhold it from your employees, then give it to the government. If you don't give it to the government, they get really mad really fast. You could file bankruptcy for the business, but they're going to say, hey, nice try, this is a trust tax, so we're going to go right over, we're just going to go after you personally. Like I said, I've never seen someone have an innocent spouse claim or innocent spouse relief claim on this, but I do see a lot of people, whether they've had this issue in the past, and according to everything on the books, financial records, ownership, only one of the spouse has anything to do with the business or finances, and the other one doesn't have anything to do with it. Maybe they've had some previous bankruptcies, tax issues in the past, and on paper, they don't have anything to do with the business, even though you and I would go into that shop and say, hey, the spouse that is on the paperwork is not the spouse that is there every single day, but some of their history is trying to carry them forward. There also is a bit of a planning opportunity here. God forbid something was to happen to your business, whether it was deliberate, like not paying your taxes, or some sort of lawsuit, by only having one spouse on an LLC or a corporation. This is always a tricky situation when I'm talking with clients, especially a married couple on this, because I get it. I don't want to just look at some of these things just from a tax or just from a liability perspective. There's a lot of different things to go into a marriage. Do you have your money separate? Do you not? Who knows if this is going to last forever? You guys have all seen this stuff before. But a lot of times when, you know, I have a married couple coming to me, I will actually advise them, if you're going to start an LLC, just pick one of you guys. Don't put both of you guys on there. Just have one of you. Why? Because there's no real benefit of having both of you on there in most situations. If you have a single member LLC taxed as an S corporation, or a multi-member LLC where it's husband and wife on an S corporation, it's both going to be treated virtually identically on your personal tax return. You file a joint return, so whether it's coming to one or that same amount is split to both of you, it's still going to the same place. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. They provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best wholesale support, hands down. They train your people on site. Yes, on site. They also offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give them a call, visit them, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. They'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for your business, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at napatrax.com. That's NapaTrax.com. Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from EuroClinic said, "I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid B-Tech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members." Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive. Another thing is, like I said, one of the aspects here is only having one person. So if your wife didn't pay any of the payroll taxes, she's on the paperwork for everything. You might be able to walk away and say, hey, that was all her, not me. Now, could you go start your own business and this new one is all you, not her, and vice versa? Yeah, and this is the kind of stuff that I've seen before. I have a couple clients, obviously I'm not going to name any names, where it seems like every 5-8 years, one of them does something and it goes from the wife's business to the husband's business to the nephew's business to the kid's business, trying to play hot potato to get some of these people who have previous transgressions off of this. Another thing, though, is to save my clients money. For an S-Corp, it doesn't really matter. It's an S-Corp where it's one owner or six owners. It's virtually identical on this. But let's talk about your real estate. If you're a lot of shop owners have their real estate owned in a separate LLC, and by having one spouse on there and not both of them, can save you some money at the end of year for tax preparation. Let's say me and my wife go out and we buy a piece of commercial real estate and we create an LLC and it's a multi-member LLC. We're going to now have to file a partnership tax return. However, if it was just my LLC or just my wife's LLC, I would actually be able to just file that as a schedule on my personal tax return. Everyone does their billing differently, but it's still some cost to add a rental schedule on your personal tax return, but it's a fraction of what it costs to file a complete other tax return. Exactly the same amount of taxes. There's no benefit. There's no downside to doing this. Really, the biggest thing is, hey, do you guys feel comfortable with this? And some people say, yeah, I don't care. Whatever is mine is hers. Whatever is hers is mine. If this is going to save us money as far as tax preparation, maybe give us some added liability protection from the other side of this, and it's not really going to hurt us at all on taxes, cool, let's do it. My other clients say, no, we want to both be on there. I'm going to kind of mention one other thing here, but don't do any of this without talking to your attorney. This is not an accountant question. This is an attorney question. But you can also sometimes do what's called a qualified joint venture. It has to do with your state laws, community property rights, and stuff like that. But a lot of times in states out there, you can actually have husband and wife be joint owners of an LLC, but it's actually treated as a single member because it's a community property state. Kind of the mixture of in between here. But the biggest thing is, like I said, if you can do it, you probably just want to have one of you guys on there. If both of you guys are on there right now, should you remove them? No, it's not that big of an issue. And really, this is something that's super obscure on this and probably hopefully never going to be an issue. Another thing is, if the person was ever on there, by removing them off of there, it doesn't undo the past. So this is something if you were to start a new one. And specifically, this is really towards rental LLCs. But no, you don't have to go back, update this, tell your wife, tell your husband that you're kicking them off the LLC. This is kind of just talking about some of these other issues. The other type of spousal relief that we do see is called the injured spouse relief. Really weird names kind of on here, right? It's, I don't know, you just don't see stuff like this generally on tax. We have innocent spouse where it's like, hey, honey did something. She lied on her taxes. I had nothing to do with it. I'm an innocent bystander. The other one is injured. Ouch. My spouse has really hurt me from their screw-ups with their taxes. And generally what ends up happening here is they're taking your joint refund to pay a past tax liability. This does happen, and maybe this is something that could be useful for you, or maybe you've encountered this issue in the past. Let's say that I am unmarried and I owe the government $100,000. And then I turn around and I get married, and me and my wife are now supposed to get a $10,000 refund. A lot of times, not always, they're not consistent on this for whatever reason, but generally that $10,000 refund, the IRS is going to take. They're going to say, nice try, Hunt, just because you got married doesn't mean we're not going to take your future refunds. What my wife could do in that situation is she could file what's called injured spouse relief. What injured spouse relief is saying, hey, you guys owe me whatever portion of this is my refund. His portion of the refund, you can take it. If we were supposed to get a $10,000 refund, my wife could say, hey, based on the calculations, withholdings, tax tables, whatever, I was supposed to get a $9,000 refund. Give me my $9,000. You can take $1,000 that Hunt owes you from previous years. Is it worth it? I mean, it's not the most straightforward thing to do. And a lot of times if you have big tax issues, like this is one of the reasons that I would probably recommend filing separate returns on this. But yeah, there's certain cases. And like I said, we don't see this more than maybe once or twice a year at most, but it's out there. And if you have issues, if you have previous tax concerns, especially if it's been causing some friction with your marriage, talk to your accountant because you might be able to do this injured spouse relief and really get some money out of this and also hopefully appease the other side of your relationship. Kind of to segue right into that, I kind of mentioned here of maybe that's one of the situations that I would look at filing a separate return. I get asked this question a lot. Should we file married filing separate or should we do married filing jointly? Let's quickly kind of talk about the ways that you can file taxes. We can file single, you can file married filing jointly. Those are the two most common. Single is obviously single, married filing jointly is obviously a married couple. Now, you have two other options. You can do what's called married filing separately, which is pretty self-explanatory. Hey, we're married, but we're still filing separate tax returns. And then a fourth one called head of household, which we're not going to get into today. Generally, in 99.999999% of situations on it, if you're married, married filing jointly is going to be the best thing to do. There is some situations where you could file separately, which is married filing separately, which it's not going to hurt you at all, or maybe just a little bit. It's not usually a major like, hey, if you do separately, you're going to get absolutely killed. The more of an income differential there is, the more of a negative effect this is going to have. If both of you and your spouse both make 100 grand a year, whether you file joint or you file separately is probably going to be pretty similar. Now, if one of you guys makes 20 grand, the other one makes 200 grand, the penalty of filing separately is going to be much, much bigger than, like I said, if you make the same amount of money. Why? It has to do with the tax tables. When you have them combined together, you're able to utilize some of the lower brackets of the lower income earner and vice versa. When you're separate, you're all kind of on your own. It's slightly higher taxes than it would be single. And also, there's a number of credits and deductions that are not available if you do married filing separately. Now, what are some situations where I would recommend people doing a separate return? If you have previous tax issues, if you have kind of an iffy past on this, and you've talked to your accountant, there's not a whole lot of a downside, then yeah, there's a lot of reasons here to just do a separate return. And I have some clients that do a married filing separate return just to avoid any future issues. When marriage, one of the most common disagreements is money. And a lot of people have figured out of saying, hey, you know what? I don't really want my spouse involved in my taxes. My spouse doesn't really want to be involved in my taxes. It keeps everything kosher, keeps everything copacetic if we just file our own taxes. And don't always look at the dollars and cents. If you look at this and say, oh, my total tax liability is going to be $35,200 if I'm joint, but there's a lot of non-financial reasons to file separately, even if it's going to cost you a couple hundred dollars more, sometimes it doesn't always make sense. And also, don't look at the worst case scenario, look at the best case scenario. If everything goes perfectly as we should, then it's going to be all right. Now, if I was to get an audit or they were to find out that I was trying to deduct the elephant farm that I claimed I created to has a tax shelter, then yeah, your spouse could be involved in something that they don't really want to be in. Most situations though, like I said, if everything is kind of amicable, you don't have any weird situations or any sort of kind of skeletons in the closet, married filing jointly is probably going to be your best bet. For most accountants out there, this is a very easy thing for them to do. If you're curious about it, reach out to your accountant and say, hey, here's what I have going on. Would it make sense for me to file joint or filing separately? We have tax software, and I'm sure every tax software out there can do this. Relatively easily, I can look at this and say, hey, if you file jointly or we're going through a tax return, hey, this is what you owe, this is what you're getting back. And someone says, well, hey, what would it be if we filed separately? Within like three clicks of a button, I can say, well, hey, here's what the penalty be if you were to file separately so that you can kind of make that determination. Hey, my wife's kind of getting on my case, so she's always taking my refund. I don't really feel like getting her involved, you know, or the opposite. I always have my stuff together. My spouse never has their stuff. It makes me anxious to file an extension. How much would it be if I was to just file myself separately instead of jointly? Talk to your accountant. They could probably give you some information so that you can make the decision of what makes the most sense for you. Do not take my word for it. I don't know what you have going on. And like I said, this is not just all about taxes, not just all about money, but it could be to keep things, everything happy or everything level at home. Do your research on that and see what makes sense for you. To kind of go the opposite of the title of this episode, we cannot end this episode without talking about the most common question about your spouse. Should I pay my spouse? Just had a client reach out to me this morning that his wife is coming in to work in a business. She works outside the business right now. I think she's actually an accountant and is going to come in to his business and going to be his bookkeeper. Not sure if this is willingly, begrudgingly, happy, whatever, but she's going to come and work in the business. And his question to me was, Hunt, because she's still working, she has another job, she's going to come work for me, how much should I pay her if I should pay it all? And I said, don't pay her, Jimmy. It's not going to make any sense, and kind of left it at that. So my clients want more of an explanation. Jimmy just said, hey, cool, thank you. Why did I tell him pretty quickly, no, do not pay her? Is it because I don't think that she's worth it? Is it because that I don't think that you should have to pay your spouse? Absolutely not. All has to do with it doesn't benefit you. If you are just really concerned about the optics and for whatever reason, the spouse just symbolically wants to be on payroll, then fine. But in most cases, I say do not pay your spouse, especially if they have a job outside of your business. The reason I generally say do not pay your spouse is because you're not getting a tax deduction for this. Think about that. You have a business, you pay your spouse $50,000, we have a deduction. You're going to have to report that on your personal tax return that they have $50,000 in income. Expense wipes out the income, and we have no deduction. Taking money out of a right pocket, put it in our left pocket. You might be saying to yourself, well, hon, that's not really a downside. What's the big deal? Well, you also are paying payroll tax on all of those wages. For that $50,000 example, no, we are not going to have any sort of tax exposure for income tax or any sort of benefit either, but you're probably going to pay back an extra $7,000 in payroll tax. You're just burning money here. Do not pay your spouse in most situations. I'll tell you two reasons why it makes sense. If your spouse wants to be paid and it's really something that they're dead set on, again, happy spouse, happy life. I'm going to make that for both sides of this. Just don't all take this from, hey, well, we're going to save $500 here. If the spouse really wants to be on payroll, it's very important for them. They like to have that. They like to have their own money. Great, do it. And it's not like it's going to cost you $75,000 extra, but generally not the best thing to do. Where it does make sense is generally as it relates to benefits, and namely retirement accounts. If your spouse works for the business and you have a retirement account, I'm going to pay them as much as I want to max out on my retirement. If my wife works for my business and she makes enough money that we can max out the 401k, $22,000 a year, so we can gross it up a little bit. All of it goes to 401k, and we don't have to worry about some of these downsides to this. Now, she's still paying a payroll tax. Yeah, we're not getting around that, but we're not paying income tax on it. We're getting the income tax deduction for contributing to a 401k. It's allowing you to double the amount that you can put into your retirement because you get an annual amount and so does your spouse. For people, especially if your spouse does not work, it's a no-brainer to put them on payroll so that you can max out the retirement. Best tax deduction out there, funding a retirement. Your wife doesn't work right now, put her on payroll for 20 grand, put it all to your 401k, going to save you at least probably 5 to 8 grand in taxes. Plus, now you have $20,000 in a retirement account. What about if your spouse works? If your spouse has another job on it, this makes it even harder to justify ever really putting them on payroll, especially if the other employer has a retirement plan of their own. Why would you say, well, hon, why wouldn't they just be on my retirement? I want them to contribute to my retirement, not their company's. Remember, when you put money into a 401k, they are putting some money in, but so is the employer. You have the employer match on it. Let's say that I give my wife $20,000 for the retirement. I'm going to have to fund a match with my company. Whatever it is, $2,000 in match is going to come out of my pocket. That's on my dime. Another thing is the payroll taxes, half of that's paid by the employee, half of that's paid by the employer. So we probably got a couple grand in taxes, in payroll taxes as well. So between the match and the taxes, Social Security, Medicare, let's call that $5,000. If I was to say, well, hey, instead of me giving you $20,000 so that you can all put it to retirement, why don't I give you a $20,000 distribution and you take more of your regular day-to-day jobs earnings and max out your retirement over there? That's going to save you a lot of money. Why? Because the $2,000 to $3,000 of payroll tax go away because you're not paying any more on that because their spouse is not going to be on your payroll. Also, even though it's going to be the same amount coming out of her pocket as she contributes her money to the 401k, it's not going to be the other business owner that is funding the match, not you. If your spouse works for someone else, try to max out their retirement versus you max out your own, let them pay for the match. Let them pay for the portion of the payroll taxes and not you. Is this the end-all be-all? Does this cover every situation, every shape, size, family, dynamic? No, absolutely not. Did this give you enough to make the decision? I hope so. If nothing else, it gave you some ideas or things to talk to your accountant about, and maybe even talk to your spouse about to make sure that you guys are all on the same page. Being married and having a business partner in many ways pose similar issues, disagreements, and frustrations, and combining the two can make it even more daunting sometimes. Talk to your spouse, talk to your accountant, and make the right decision for you and your business. Please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode, please shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening app. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.